Did any of you play the Noid games on NES?
Yeah, they were awful.
I would disagree.
How many were there?
Two.
Really?
Yeah. They were Capcom
games. After you avoid him, what is there to do?
You keep avoiding him.
You know, it's ironic. Aren't you playing as him, though?
Maybe, yeah.
I think you play as him. Oh, yeah, you are.
And you have, like, I think you have a yo-yo, which is, like, the classic NES weapon.
Yeah. Like, I just don't know how you would avoid him if you are him. Is it, like, a psychological game?
Mm-hmm.
Avoid yourself.
I gotta be honest, there's a lot of drinking.
Yeah.
There's a lot of drinking to forget, to numb. You know,
to numb all the pizzas you've ruined,
to void the Noid.
Yeah,
I have to void the Noid.
Imagine how much fucking guilt that little bastard feels every day.
I don't know. He seems pretty happy when you see him.
No, it's just because he's so blindingly drunk. Do you think he means to step on all those pizzas? No, he just wants to share and enjoy those pizzas with you. But you know, hey, but Uncle Noid's back.
I always felt bad for Uncle Noid because, like, he was always showed up by Uncle Cool Spot.
Mm-hmm.
Uncle Cool Spot came in and was like, hot shit.
Yeah, those games party. I liked.
He's like, Uncle Cool Spot just wants to refresh your fucking palate with a lemon lime savory blast.
You know, the problem though, at Thanksgiving, my mom asked Uncle Cool Spot to take off his glasses, and they were just bloodshot. Uh-huh. Turned out he had been partying for 20 years straight.
Yeah, he's doing the H.
Yeah, oh God, yes. But how do you think he gets so fucking cool?
The H.
It's a good way to do it.
It's
riding the horse.
The hammer.
Chasing the dragon.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Punching the ticket.
And we're off. My name is Justin McElroy, and I know the best game of the week.
My name is Griffin McElroy, and let's agree to disagree on your point about knowing the best game of the week, because I feel like I'm the one who possesses that particular bit of information.
My name is Christopher Plant, and I just had a crazy vacation in Mexico.
Oh.
My name is Ross Frostick, and I know the best game of the week.
So this is the besties, as you've certainly gathered. In the besties, we take the hottest, latest titles fresh off the digital line, and we put them inside us, and then whichever one pops out of us, like the alien, baby, and alien, is the one who's winning. Russ Frostick, who's our current champion?
I think it's still Sound Shapes, but I think we have to retire it this week.
You think it's Starscream?
No, Sound Shapes.
Got it. Sound Shapes will be retired this week. And replaced by a new victor, a new champion. Sound Shapes will be retired to the Hall of Fame. And this week, I'm the commissioner. I'm running the proverbial show. So I have nothing to talk about.
Aww.
I'm playing a game called The Curse on iOS. That's where I'm at.
How is
I played
it?
Some Transformers. The Curse is good. It's a series of 100 puzzles. Very Professor Layton-like in concept. It's a buck. And there's a creepy guy who's running the whole thing called, like, Mannequin or something. And he taunts you in between the puzzles and stuff. So
is it just a copy of Mannequin 2 on DVD? It's like, you're going to have to watch me.
It uses 3D printing to print a DVD of Mannequin 3 on DVD.
Was there a 3?
Yeah, it's with Kim Cattrall's little sister, Cattrall.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and Katie for short, and it's a really great game, and it's a buck.
It's weird. The entire film, she says nothing, but except for she'll just walk around and be like, "Cattrall, Cattrall."
She is a great Pokemon. The other problem with Mannequin 3 is it's about two mannequins, which is weird because they just stand there.
Yeah, they're not magical at all. One of them just stands there and is plastic, and the other one stands there and just says, "Cattrall, Cattrall."
I would watch this movie. The one thing that The Curse is a little nefarious about it is it lets you, in games like Layton, you know, you find hints. People put hint coins in, like, the fountain or in their laundry or something, and he just roots through your laundry until he finds a hint coin.
Mm-hmm.
In The Curse, you have to buy hint coins.
Oh. I like that. Because I might be doing laundry, and, like, I'll pull, like, a bunch of quarters out of my pocket before, because I've always got, like, a fistful of quarters in my pocket at any given time, and I'll pull them out so as not to damage the laundry machine. And that's like finding hint coins in real life.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like a homeless person could come up to me and be like, "Hey, let me get some of those dimes," and I'll say, "I can't, bro. They're hint coins, and I need them for puzzles."
But if you give them to him, does he give you clues?
Mm-hmm. He says, "Solve for me this matchstick puzzle, Catrol, Catrol."
I am going to pick the first person who will talk this week, and the person I'm picking to go first is Chris Plant.
Oh, hello.
Hello.
My game for this week is a game called McPixel, or every time you play it, every 15 seconds, McPixel! Because I think it is made by some European developer, one man.
What is the platform?
Well, you can play it on a lot. I played it on iPad. It is on iOS as of this week, but it's been out on PC, Mac, and Linux for a while. And it is a point-and-click adventure game, kind of modeled after MacGruber, which itself is a parody of MacGyver, the 1980s television show in which Richard Dean Stanton, who's the actor?
Richard Dean Anderson?
Yeah. I don't know. It's some one of those 80s actors.
The guy that got... Oh, I was going to give a West Wing spoiler.
Oh, wow.
but that guy.
But he...
Dean Stockwell. Dean Stockwell?
No.
Is it Ziggy?
Oh, and it's Ziggy. He's always like, "Oh, today's going to be okay."
Okay, please go on.
But MacGyver, he was a secret agent who used, basic scientific method and house supplies like a toothbrush and
he was a secret agent, though?
Yeah, I didn't know that until I wikied it.
I don't think secret agents are allowed to wear denim jackets.
No, that's how they're secret.
It wasn't denim. No,
if he was an agent, he would be wearing, like a suit. But a secret agent wears God knows what.
He had a cool leather jacket. It was the MacGyver jacket.
No, so when I was in Mexico and I saw a bunch of fat dads wearing a bunch of Hawaiian shirts, those were ostensibly all secret agents.
Oh, because of course.
They look like fat dads.
Have you ever seen Charlie Wilson's War? That's like half the cast.
It's all fat dads.
It's just all fat dads.
This shows you how closely you pay attention when you're a youngin', but I can remember adults watching MacGyver, and I always assumed he was a janitor. I don't know why I thought that, but I'm sitting here, and you guys are saying that he's like a spy or something, a secret agent, but I know bullshit. I've just assumed all these years that he was the janitor,
with
and he
really,
got into scrapes.
Really bad luck. Like, I just moved into yet another job. Seems like things are going well this week. Oh, shit, they're going to blow up the school.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Why do I keep getting these? Do you guys kind of wonder how MacGyver is held up?
Well, he...
Because I wonder if it's still, like, pretty good to
watch. I'm pretty sure he died in the last episode.
Does he? Just yeah. He fails, like,
yeah.
Moments before the paperclip can undo the time bomb and blows up.
No, he needed a valve to repair the motorcycle so that the kids could escape the burning cave. And so he had to take the one out of his own beating heart.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my gosh. I would love to see a MacGyver Breaking Bad mashup. I feel like there's a lot of cross cuts you could do there that would be pretty good.
Tell me about this
game. Do you guys want to hear about it?
Yeah.
Please.
Oh, so if you've seen MacGruber, that's on Saturday Night Live before you even get to the game, and it's a parody of that, where rather than solving the problem, MacGruber just kind of gets distracted and talks about his daddy issues, and then the bomb blows up, and this happens over and over again. So McPixel is a 2D, like, retro, pixely point-and-click adventure that is closer to MacGruber. It's like a parody of a parody in that it's even weirder than MacGruber, like kind of by leaps and bounds. So what happens is there are, I think, 100 scenes, scenarios that he has to stop some sort of ticking time bomb, and he has 20 seconds to click any number of objects or people on the screen and see what happens after he clicks it. So it's not like it's a game, but you're not really learning anything, because the answer to the solution is usually as far from what you would think it is. Like, if there's a fire in a room and it's approaching a bomb, you would think to use the fire hose. But when you do that, that'll end up, like, getting wedged up a cow's butt and then blasting out of his mouth and then, like, taking off a woman's head.
That's not a good way
Jesus
to put out that
Christ.
Fire.
It's like, usually the answer is to, like, just grab a beer and then down it and then piss on the fire and put it out. Like, or to, like... The answers are always horrible. I don't know. I don't want to spoil any of them because I think a lot of people should play them. Because
I think spoil but, one yeah. more. There are 100. I think you
spoil,
could spoil 98
one more.
Or two.
So, in in one of them, the on the you're on the moon, and there's a CCCP flag, like a communist party flag, and a communist astronaut, and a nuclear bomb. So when you tap things, most of the time you like kick them. So if you tap, if you like tap the nuke, you'll just kick it and it'll blow up and destroy the moon. But you can pick up the nuke and hand it to the astronaut and then kick him in the balls, which will knock his air vent out and it'll launch him off the moon. And you'll save the moon, but then the nuclear weapon attached to the astronaut will fly into Earth and kill everyone on Earth. And that's how you win that mission.
Because you saved yourself?
Because you saved the moon.
And the moon. Awesome.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
It's pretty, it's just like really, really silly. And it's like, I would, the biggest mistake you can make is playing this game for more than 30 seconds at a time, because it will drive you crazy, because your instinct is to try to win the game and not just see what happens. And if you're trying to win it, it is the most annoying thing in the world, because it just, I mean, that's how, it's how comedy works, you know, it's, you know, subverting your expectations. So
this is how comedy works, guys.
This is how comedy works. This is
tell me, while you're telling me about how comedy works, can you tell me more about, like, MacGyver and Saturday Night Live?
Yeah, do you want to hear anything else? Do you want to talk off topic? Listen, just because we aren't all as refreshed as you, because you've been, you know, vacationing up with Margarita Bill and your fat dads.
We're going to go ahead and just,
this game sounds great, and I have already purchased it while we've been talking, so that is fantastic.
Good, it's like $1.99.
Let's see. Griffin?
Yep.
You want to go next?
Sure. My game is New Super Mario Bros. 2 for the Nintendo 3DS, and here's my pitch.
He's still at it.
Here's my pitch. What else are you going to play on the 3DS, f***o?
Good pitch!
Is that the official Nintendo line?
Mm-hmm. Hey, stupid, you bought it. That's it.
Isn't it like $40 to download?
It's 40 Nintendo bucks. It's a new currency that they've implemented. Oh, basically, $1 will get you two Nintendo bucks. So it is $80.
And worth every penny.
And worth it all.
Wait, that is not how money translates. That would be $20.
Yeah.
You get two for $2. Mm-hmm. You get 6 Nintendo bucks in Australia. Their exchange rate is really jacked. Okay. Can I talk about my fucking game?
Uh-huh.
What, don't we kind of already know
about
what
TV show is it based off of? Oh, is this based off that one with the pro wrestler?
Which, if you were to name one Saturday Night Live sketch that Super Mario Brothers 2 is closest to, what would it be?
Gilly! Guys, Gilly!
And that they don't give up on it and they keep playing it over and over and over again?
Yeah.
Okay. Griffin.
Opera Man.
Like, what can you tell us about this? I'm not trying to grieve you.
Good
like, I really
boy.
I don't know what you're gonna say. That's gonna
Canteen boy. So, basically, it's here's the thing that you know all about the gold collecting stuff. Like,
no.
That's the whole aspect.
Gold.
Of the,
you gotta get
that gold in New Super Mario Bros. 2. Okay. And there's some clever stuff in there. The gold aspect. Let me just say, if it weren't for the gold aspect, it would be the most creatively bankrupt Mario game in the history of mankind. Because it is seriously, like, to a T, it is the last game.
Is it true that they didn't make the background graphics in 3D, and to make up for this, they just have them blur out when you turn on the 3D?
No. No, they extend. They go back.
I am not sure that's true. I think I just read something about how, like...
I don't
like,
play any
oh,
of that...
Oh, cheat that. We'll just make it blurry here.
I don't play any of that in 3D. I don't think I've messed with the 3D. I just got a 3DS XL. I don't think I've messed with the 3D Switch on it. It's just... it's just not my jam. Anyway, so the core mechanics of it are basically the same. But what it does add is, with the gold collecting mechanics, it adds a level of... like skill of like score chasing that I don't think I've ever had for a Mario game before. Like, you're not only just trying to make it through the level and collecting like the 3 special coins, which is basically, I think that's basically all you did in the last in Super Mario 3D Land, and it's sort of what you do in every Mario game. In this one, you are collecting coins, which on a broad level is sort of a silly goal. because you'll collect so many. When I finished the game, I had over 100 lives. Like, and that's been the only purpose of the gold in the past. But now it's desirable. They make such nice noises, and it's nice to finish a level with like 1,000 coins that you'd picked up. And it makes you play the game in different ways. Like, it makes you look for. It makes you look for combos. It makes you look for the best possible time that you can use, like, the special golden power-ups. It makes you try to maximize your gold output on every level. And it really does add a new layer of gameplay to the game.
Griffin.
And it's not nothing. And also there's the gold rush mode, which is actually pretty cool. I didn't think I was going to be that into it, but I've been traveling so much and going to all these different conventions that I got a lot of play out of it. Basically, you go on these runs of 3 levels, and when you die, you only have 1 life. When you die, you're out. And so these 3 level like packs, you try to collect as many coins as you possibly can. Yeah. And then whenever you street pass with other players, you pass your record on to them, and they try and beat your score, or vice versa. I've got something like 25 challenges waiting for
Griffin.
Me.
Griffin,
sounds cool.
Yeah,
I got a quick question for you.
Yeah, shoot.
As a Jew, I already have a lot of gold.
Oh my God.
Do you think I need more?
Be careful, because both answers literally could be racist.
I think you could.
Is it fun?
Yeah, it's fun. It's f***ing Mario. Like, you know what it is. You know what it's gonna be, and it's good, and it's polished, and it feels great, and the platforming's great. But I'll be honest, the million coin goal, no way. There's no way I'll ever have enough interest to try.
Why
to
would you
when
ever
finish
do that?
The game, when I finished the game, I don't even think I had 50,000 coins. Like, I wasn't even close, and I don't understand why.
What would you get for doing that?
I don't know.
What do you get for completing most simple tasks?
Mad Achievos, yo!
Oh, yeah, Achievos, right.
Yeah.
No Achievos on 3DS.
It's fun. I think the coin rush mode has some legs. I think when I travel, I'll keep it on me, because going after those challenges really is fun. But, like, for instance, there are secret worlds in the game that I just didn't even bother with.
Wait, this is the Mario with secret worlds?
There are secret worlds. It's sort of like how, you know, in the last New Super Mario Bros., if you were, like, mini at the right point, you would go in, like, a special tunnel, and then there would
be
a whole
Yeah, I'm surprising. I didn't think they had secret worlds in Mario games.
I can't tell if you're being an asshole or not.
I counted the seconds, and we made it 5. You know what would be great? You know, this is just an idea. I'm going to throw it out there. Nintendo can take it or leave it. New Super Mario World. Why isn't that?
I mean, that's kind of what this is.
Is it?
What is that, though?
It would be like more like the Super Mario World type of graphics and playstyle than. I guess this is
the playstyle is the same thing. It's just.
I would say that it actually feels different.
It's personally a little disappointing for me that this isn't a. Like, in much the same way the first one re-envisioned Super Mario Brothers, that this doesn't actually re-envision Super Mario Brothers 2.
Yeah, I thought
that would be really that would be way more interesting for me, because that's such a weird aesthetic, and it's such like an untapped. I know it's sort of the stepchild of the whole thing, but I don't know. That to me would be more interesting.
I think the comparison is hard. The comparison is rough, because the last platformer I played was Rayman Origins. And you can't, like, there is nothing creatively bankrupt about that game. Like, there are so many great ideas in that game that weren't in any other Rayman game or any other platformer. And to watch them just sort of, the gold collecting stuff is cool, but it's not like, to its core, an entirely new experience.
Yeah, I would also say that Super Mario 3D Land was like one of the best Mario games the last 10 years.
Yeah, it was phenomenal.
Sort of take a step back to like quasi, you know, dull, same old, same old.
And I can't tell you how, when I finished the game, I was like, that was great. I am never, ever, ever going to play the new Super Mario Brothers for Wii U. Not never. Like, I'm just so done with it. Like, I'm going to need like a 2-year refresh before I'm even remotely interested in playing one of these games again. And it's not a long game, which is what's messed up about it. It's not like it demanded so much time for me. It's just that I've been doing this for 2 goddamn decades now. Like,
I think the bummer part is they basically have splintered this series into, like, types of games. Like, there's, like, now we have 3D Land, we have New Super Mario Brothers, and we have Galaxy. And it's like,
it used to be, I would say 3D Land and Galaxy are effectively the same.
My point being, it used to be like a new one came out and the game itself was different.
Yeah.
Like, it was like there was Mario and the Mario games were different. And now it's like, great, we just have three, you know, type of brands like Call of Duty that they can rotate between and just keep churning them out each year.
Yeah. Which, I don't know. I feel like I'm being too hard on it because I did enjoy what I played while I was playing it. I just have no interest in going back to it. So I don't know. I don't know if you enjoy platformers, if you enjoy Mario games, that's the god dumbest thing I've ever said out loud.
Wait for Rayman Legends.
Fans of the genre.
Fans of the platforming genre. Hey, have you heard of Mario? I mean, you know if you're gonna like it or not.
Am I gonna be lost in the story though?
That's the thing. Here's the story. Yeah. Here's the story of the game. The princess got kidnapped.
Sure.
Why the fuck do I have to collect $1 million? Like, I rescued her. I don't need it for fucking ransom. Why do I need 1 million coins for? They literally never explain why you're on this coin.
Griffin.
This coin binge.
Was she kidnapped by a Jewish person?
Oh, God, Russ.
Russ. You're killing me, Russ. What's going on in your life?
Well, I want to hear about Griffin's international travails.
Yeah, did you get anything crazy, Griffin? Did you meet any locals?
I actually made a point not to. I went on a snorkeling excursion with a small group of people on my last day in Mexico, and I met an American couple, and they seemed nice enough. And then I told them I was from Texas, and they asked me if I had jumped the fence. And then I said, well, I've got to go away now.
No, but seriously, did you jump the fence?
That's, like, super racist.
Is it? Isn't there a fence, though?
Yeah, there's a fence between Mexico and Texas. They're just asking if you jumped
it. Right, that's what I'm saying. How is that racist?
Right. I didn't meet anyone. Do you know why? Because I was drunk for 6 days. I'm exhausted, you guys. All I did was, when I got home, was just drink two big old cups of great American tap water.
Oh, great American beer.
at the resort you were at, was the water potable?
I believe it's pronounced potable.
It was a nice resort.
It's portable?
It was a nice resort, and every restaurant that we went to at the resort would give us glasses of water, to which my girlfriend and I would promptly respond, can we have bottles? And we tried to say it in, like, the shittiest, like, California accent. Like, no, we're going to need some Avena, please. And I'll tell you why. And it's not for any reason other than I just don't want poop worms. I just don't want them. I'm way too busy for them.
Sure. Well, you're living the life you want. Mm-hmm. You don't have time for poop worms.
Mm-hmm.
I got poop worms in Italy from doing that. Out in the country, drank that water.
Ugh.
It was bad.
Yeah. And I have a delicate constitution already. It's like tissue paper down there. And I felt like I had to be super careful. So I would insult them. They were nice. They were very, very, very nice. And it was a very nice resort. I would recommend it to anyone. The Royal in Playa del Carmen. Very sensible packages. But I just didn't want to just shit my guts out week.
Do you think that when they're growing up, like, people in areas where the water's not super drinkable,
they get used to it, yeah.
Well, but yeah, so, like, everyone pretty much bacteria. Has their poop worm moment when they're a kid, and then you're just adjusted to it?
No, it's like you have inherited, and also in your gut already, there are certain kinds of bacteria
you get in vitro poop worms. Like, they live in you. When you're born, I listened to a radio lab recently. When you're born, you have nothing in there. You got nothing. Sure. You got no bacteria to absorb that stuff. And then within, like, the first minute of you being in the world, your body is just a fucking petri, just a battleground of viruses and bacterias and streptococci and metamucil. Just, like, everything gets in there and just wants to tear you up. So that's the how
you
turn
into
live.
A Superman, though. If they just keep sending crap at you, you adjust to it.
Yeah, it's true. That's true. When I have kids, I'm going to poison them every day a little bit.
Yeah.
Just a little.
Just a little bit. Just enough to keep them
on their toes.
I just want that Rasputin treatment for my offspring.
Hey, I just realized that I like this show a lot more if I imagine, since I know Chris and Russ are in the same room, do you guys just stare into each other's eyes the whole time?
Yeah, we sit across from each other.
Do you have your hands up? Are you doing, like, mirroring exercises?
No, but we intertwine our legs.
Yeah.
No.
It's sort of like an inverted human centipede.
So,
let's see. Russ Frushtick.
Hey, guys.
I have a confession for you. I love robots. I love cars. The problem, and planes and shit. The one problem I've always had is that I can't find a game that you can't have a game with both of those.
Yeah, you really, completely agree. Like, for years and years, I kept thinking, robots, awesome. Cars, planes, awesome. But no middle ground. That ends today.
Today.
Last Tuesday.
That ends last Tuesday.
And also 3 years ago, and also 20 years ago. With a little game called Transformers: The Fall of Cybertron. Spoiler alert, Cybertron falls in this game.
Is it a prequel to something?
No. Sort of. Sure? It's a sequel.
Not a prequel?
No, it's
why would they spoil the end of it if it's not a prequel?
Well, it's a prequel to the Transformers getting to Earth and doing other things.
Oh.
So, spoiler alert, they probably get to Earth at the end. I actually haven't beaten it yet, but I'm very, very close.
It's pronounced
Earth. So, Transformers War for Cybertron, Fall of Cybertron, takes place after the events of War for Cybertron, which came out 2 years ago.
Worf of Cybertron?
Yeah, so he's a Klingon, and he's got a bailiff and something else Star Trek-y.
Okay.
Anyway, it takes place after the events of that game, and...
Oh, we'll never forget the events of War for Cybertron.
Yeah, I never actually played that game, but from what I understand, there was a war over who got Cybertron.
And Bumblebee met Optimus Prime.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Did that happen?
I'm sure it happened.
Anyway, Fall of Cybertron takes place after the events of that game, those memorable events. And in this game, basically the Autobots, who are the good guys, are escaping Cybertron because it's basically effed. And the Decepticons, the bad guys, because they deceive, are not wanting the Autobots to leave or something.
Autobots.
So they're the car guys. Anyway,
we're out of here.
So, roll out.
So
roll
I started
out.
Playing
dinosaurs. battle beasts.
Sorry, go ahead.
Playing this game, and it was sort of dull, which is surprising because the first couple levels let you play as Optimus Prime, so you would think that would be like the most epic, great parts of it. But it sort of like felt like, you know, like Call of Duty, but in third person and with robots and sci-fi and stuff.
So bullets.
So basically, it had shooting guns. No, I mean, it felt the way the like levels were structured with like enemies popping out from like dropships, and it just felt like a shooter, like a pretty standard shooter.
Sure.
And
so if in Call of Duty, just so I'm clear. Yeah. If in Call of Duty,
go on.
If in Call of Duty, you were made of metal. You had no soul. You were on a planet made of metal. Everyone around you is a robot, and you could turn into a car. And the guns didn't shoot bullets, but concentrated energon. If that in Call of Duty, it was basically the same thing, and sometimes you can transform into a plane.
Pretty much.
Basically. Okay. All right. I got the premise. Go on.
Anyway.
So, like, if in Call of Duty, you ran over hot dog buns and toppings and burgers and ketchup and salt and pepper to defend yourself, That's basically Burger Time. So that's Call of Duty and Burger Time are basically the same.
Essentially.
Essentially,
at its core,
they are the same.
What you got? Imagine Call of Duty, except that okay. your son got hit by a car, and your other okay. son is very sad. Okay. And so you have to cut off your finger to make him love you again.
Sure, sure.
This is basically, and also there's rope. He's a, but they're both robot car. They're car robots.
Okay. Okay.
Wait, is that the sequel to the Call of Duty where your son falls out the high window and then you write a song about it?
No, no, that's
oh,
Eric
you're
Clapton's
thinking of Eric Clapton.
Life.
That is a common mistake. So, Russ, I'm sorry. Go on. Did the game turn around
it
for
did,
you?
As a matter of fact. So after the Optimus Prime levels, this sort of, the Optimus Prime levels end with like a cool moment that I won't spoil for everyone, but it's cool. It involves a large robot.
No shit.
So they basically, the game turns into sort of like a greatest hits family reunion collection of robots. So each level or so, you're switching to a different robot, which has different skills. So in the levels after Optimus Prime, you're playing as this guy named Cliffjumper, who I've never heard of, but he's like the stealth robot. I did air quotes. You probably can't see that. He's like the stealth robot, and he kills guys stealthy-like. And there's a whole like stealth mission where you sneak into a garbage dump or whatever. And then there's the other guy that's like turns into a helicopter and you use more aerial attacks. So each level feels pretty different to one another because mm-hmm. each robot has a very different playstyle. It's
right, and you're gonna prefer some to others. Some of them aren't as refined, I think, to be generous.
Yeah, well, I think, ironically enough, Optimus Prime is the most unrefined of them all because all he does is just shoot guys and then call in airstrikes.
It's basically an extended tutorial, the yeah. Optimus part. I mean, it's just giving you the basic shooting and mechanics.
Yeah. So the game picks up and adds a lot more variety, and I could care less about Transformers as like a storyline, but it actually, you know, got me sort of interested in it. And yeah, I would say, I know you all were making fun of me about the Call of Duty analogies, but when you get into the multiplayer...
That's only because they were terrible and nonsense.
When you get into the multiplayer, there's a mode called Annihilation or something to that effect.
Kill confirmed.
Where you basically...
Domination.
It's a four-player co-op mode where you're in a room and you're killing AI guys as they flood in and then using the money that you earn from the kills... to open doors and buy weapons off the walls.
Oh, so zombie mode.
Which is to say, it's a direct copy of zombie mode. It's fun, but it's zombie mode.
Isn't zombie mode just yeah. horde mode?
No.
Well, no, different. Zombie mode has more structure.
Yeah, it's different.
Okay.
But I was actually kind of surprised by how they genuinely have taken the idea of the flexibility of these characters as combatants, and you really do have to make use of it or you will die. Like, it's yeah. genuinely difficult, and like a lot of the times if you die, it's because you weren't using everything at your disposal correctly. Like, you can't always force it if you want to be a car in a certain place, you know, but you should be actually using cover. It forces you back and forth between the two surprisingly well, and forces you to sort of think strategically about a situation. There's things like your car armor is stronger than in your robot form. So
is it?
You know,
I didn't know that.
Yeah. And you can also buy upgrades to your car's armor.
Can you? I didn't know that.
Yeah. have you played much? Have you played much of it? There are upgrades too, of course, that you can get for Energon. That bizarrely carry over from character to character, even when you switch teams.
They explain it away in a loading screen where it's like, oh, the store got hacked by the Decepticons. Some bullshit.
Although, like, the vending machine is probably my favorite thing about the game, because think about it. You're in a world populated entirely by robots, but they decided that there's this one robot that they're not going to make ambulatory. They're going to make him completely stationary. But I think he still has, like, emotions and feelings. Because he'll say things like, under Starscream's leadership, the Decepticons will come to ruin. Like,
he has an opinion.
So he's got. They created basically a paraplegic, but of the
racist?
Transformers.
He sounds negative.
That, well, I wouldn't say racist.
What? Yeah, is he racist against the Autobots?
No.
Well, this is when he's talking to Decepticons.
Yeah.
That is one of the weird things about the game too, for me, is that I hate it when they make you go back and forth between Autobots and Decepticons, because I feel like it completely sort of. How are you supposed to get invested in any sort of narrative when you're not?
Yeah, there's basically this whole mission where you're trying to save, like, this big pool of Energon and, like, a giant freighter. And you do it, and you're really happy. And then the next mission is blow the fuck out of the freighter.
Right, which is just like, okay, well, I don't really feel. It kind of robs your motivation. When it's like, I don't really. I mean, put me on one side or the other. Or make two separate campaigns.
Well,
I think
what happened was they did that with the last game, War for Cybertron, and I think what happened was they realized that, like, only 10% of the people played, like, one of the campaigns, and that was probably frustrating.
Okay. Yeah, I get that. I just don't know. It's a weird storytelling thing because you're going back and forth between the two, and which is, would not be so weird in most other narrative forms. You know, like in any movie, you're going to be going back and forth between the bad guys and the good guys.
Yeah.
But like to be them, it sort of like hollows out your
victory. Honestly, I kind of liked it just because it gave you a more personal, like I'll be honest, the Autobot characters are kind of boring, and at least the Decepticons, they're dicks, but they're
motivation.
They have like, yes, like apart from like do good, save Cybertron. Like there's some like interesting element to it.
Yeah, good video game, like, the nice guy video game characters tend to lack any real motivation in most video games.
Except for Soap.
Get more gold!
The game also looks
really nice. It's good. So, two things that I do want to take issue with. The level design, I think, is kind of like, it reminded me of Halo 1, where it was just, like, a lot of, like, copy and paste, like, sci-fi rooms.
Yeah.
And
yeah, they definitely take advantage of the fact that that it is a planet made of robots.
Yeah.
Which I do. Are they living like day-to-day lives? Like, can they exist outside of war?
Yeah.
Have you ever played Killzone? Like, have you played any of those Killzone games?
Yeah.
My question with that is, it's always like, who, like, what the hell do the Hellgas do when they're not being Hellgas? Like,
right. Their eyes are laser beams and they all have helmets for heads. Like,
and For Killzone 3, the developers are like, you're going to learn a lot about what goes on back on Helgan. And you go there and it's like, well, there's a lot of industry.
Like, and artillery cannons.
Transformers seems to be a cautionary tale about the military-industrial complex overrunning a planet. Because all we have left...
We don't even eat.
All we have left are sentient war machines.
Actually, I think they have mauls. They have like a Cinnabon if you really like. That's sort of where they hang out.
This is only way I know how to relax.
I eat to feel.
And the other thing I wanted to mention, so they bill themselves as robots in disguise, but if you can't disguise yourself as anything but the one thing, that doesn't really hold up as a disguise more than once. And I think that needs to
be changed.
Plus,
there's not, like, cars on Cybertron that aren't secretly
robots. Yeah, that's the bigger problem. that's like being like, well, when I wear clothes, I'm in disguise from my naked form.
That's embarrassing, I bet. How many like, Decepticon dudes do you think have rolled up to, like, a Porsche and just been like, hey, damn, baby, are those suicide doors? Damn, you. Oh, you're a car.
Boy, is my face painted red. I just want to know more about their day-to-day lives. You know, I want to know more about what they're doing when they're not fighting with each other. Why do they want to continue to survive? Doesn't it take a weird turn if you consider that maybe Cybertron used to be inhabited by people?
It makes it so much better. It's actually feature fiction.
You blew it up.
Yes, this is actually. Yes. Anyway,
thank you.
I guess I don't. As usual, I don't think I pitched the game very well. It was, but I liked it. I didn't love it, but I liked it.
Justin actually pitched it way better than you.
Yeah,
did.
Thank you, Commissioner. Justin.
So thanks, we can just go ahead and end the show if you guys want. I mean, there's been I don't want to. I don't know. I don't want to sound petty, but there's been some obvious favoritism.
Go on.
Say how do you figure?
I'm just saying that you obviously very badly want this game to win. I'm not saying that they paid you a large sum of money to get you on their side, but I am saying exactly that.
Well, it's the only one I've played, so okay. It's harder for me to...
Actually, fun fact, you have played New Super Mario Bros. 2 before. You just don't know it.
Well, I mean, in a manner of speaking, I've played New Super Mario Bros. 2 many, many times before. Dozens of times, if you want to get particular about it.
Next week on the Polygon documentary, Interior Activision Day, Justin walks in. Well, sir, we have that bag full of money for you. How many people listen to that podcast again? Oh, at least 8 billion. Oh, great.
By which I mean 8. So this week, I really don't know. This is so hard when I've played one of them. Should I play McPixel real quick? I have it on my iPad.
No, just make a decision. No.
Speak with your heart.
It's War for Cybertron.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's, here's the thing.
Wow.
Robots in disguise.
Can you believe the mighty have fallen that Mario lost to a fucking Transformers game?
It's a good Transformers game. Oh,
no BS. And I know that, like, you could consider Mario games, like 2D Mario games, more of like a genre unto themselves, a meditation on a theme, if you will. Wow. But there have been Mario games that have reinvented platforming like several times over. And you can do this back to basics thing, but that the novelty of that is like once. Yep. Like once I want to go back to basics. Now will you please do... this is a flagship 3D console. It is the only console that has 100% three-dimensional saturation, and they're making another 2D Mario game. They're doing nothing interesting with it. That it just to me speaks to the sort of
why is Super Mario 64 2 not out?
Yeah, it feels like it speaks to the sort of the creative atrophy in a lot of branches. Wait, of
are
Nintendo.
You kidding me?
And Griffin, you've played
that Super Mario 64 2 line? That's Super Mario 3D Land, to be fair. That's
not at all. Not even close. Because it's all on tracks.
Shut up.
No, that's not an open world. If you think that's an open world, well, you're dumb.
Robots in
Griffin,
disguise.
Griffin, you played Super Mario Bros. 2. Is that a fair critique? Or is it... Am I looking for too much from this? Should I look to another Super Mario franchise, too?
I gotta be honest with you. I was reading an email. You can hear it. I was reading, but listen. No, listen. I know you're angry. It was
wow,
a super
your
good
game
email.
Lost, and you gave up immediately.
No, listen.
You punched right out. I'm punching the ticket. I did my job.
Griffin, you have, as the person who's going to be editing this, I will provide to you a choice.
Okay.
I can either repeat what I said so you know what I said and you can comment on it and then edit this part out.
Okay.
Or you can just keep going right along.
I got it. Listen, this is a super long email. Can you guys finish the show without me?
Yes. So thank you for listening to the besties.
wait.
Where you get the best in editing.
Don't we need
what?
To figure... Oh, no, we don't. So I guess War for Cybertron's in the quote-unquote Hall of Fame.
It doesn't get to the Hall of Fame without... It is our game of the year.
Okay. Can you learn this?
It doesn't get to the Hall of Fame unless
it changes every week. It's hard to remember.
No, it's exact
what
same.
Is with the... Fucking crosstalk! Thank you.
Sorry.
I had to mention
shouldn't the
say.
World's best games?
Having world's best games? This podcast is the worst. They should show in the documentary the scene where we all talk to each other and say, like, I don't know, this podcast isn't very good. Just all doing it. Nobody really likes it that much. And
you know what's great? It costs more than the documentary to produce.
That's
almost 10 times more.
It's an incredibly, incredibly expensive production. Every one of these episodes is actually filmed in 3D, decompressed, re-resed, de-interlaced with the video, and then published.
This episode
Nintendo method.
This actually has 4D this episode. So just like reach into that cup of water and just like get your fingers wet and then just flick it in your face. And then that's my spittle when I yell angrily. You got to time it. You got to cue it. We'll put in special bells. You'll hear the bell and you'll know to synthesize the spittle.
So this has been the Besties. Please check out our documentary. You can find it at The Verge.
It's not our documentary.
Well, I mean, it's about us. It's about the founding of Polygon and our ongoing. It's an ongoing video documentary miniseries webisode.
Can you also just please don't tell the people that we work with about how bad the podcast is? Because I'm almost certain that none of them listen. And they're all, you know, we're all very happy with the quality of the doc. And if you're like, yeah, the doc's great, but listen to the pod sometimes.
It's unbelievably bad. You will not. It's where they get all their bad out so they can do good work for the rest of the week. I do. I feel a lot of personal embarrassment about this podcast.
Yeah.
I wish it was better, but it's, I mean, it's not.
It's just not good. It's, you know, the problem is probably that the idea behind the podcast is so fucking stupid.
It's a pretty good idea. No, Griffin, I think we got to be honest about
okay.
it. Two of us on this podcast are on another hit podcast.
Yeah, that's true.
If you're scientific
hello?
Method.
Yeah.
My name is Ross Rushing's grandmother, and
I think the real problem
I'm
with
here
the besties.
With a giraffe. He says he's local, but I've never seen him before. He must be from uptown.
Oh, man.
I think the biggest problem we have are Chris Plant's impressions of Russ Rushdick doing impressions of Jimmy Stewart.
Wow! God,
as
this
a bird.
Whole
a bird,
is
Jimmy
out
Stewart.
Order. One man against a whole town.
Now, Clarence. Clarence! Okay. Crow!
Ka-chow!
Ka-chow!
Callbacks. Thanks for listening to Besties. We'll be back next Friday because
should
the world's best
listening.
Friends pick the world's best games. If no one listens, we don't have to do it anymore. So,
set us free.
Control.
Control.